would you go to the Lord with me in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, with all that's within me, with all that I have, may the name of Jesus be lifted up, that men might see all the blessings and the glory and the wonders of your work, Lord, and that they might call upon your name, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Good to see you. Good to be here. Get to hear the music. Good to hear the children sing. God always does so much more. He always does so much more. I was listening to one of my favorite radio preachers, Adrian Rogers, who's going on to be in glory. And he was recounting a situation where he was at a preacher's conference, and the preacher who was the main speaker, he stepped up to the lectern and he said, God has never given me what I wanted. And people were stunned. He said, God never gave me the wife I wanted. And his wife sitting right out there said, God never gave me the children I wanted. He said, God never even gave me the church in the state that I wanted to pastor at. And he was at his church. And right about now, the people are looking at him pretty much askance. He said, all I want to tell y'all is in this Christian walk, God has always given me better than what I ever asked him for. He gave me better children. He gave me a better wife. And he gave me a better congregation than I could have possibly imagined. And that's my testimony. I'm through. Okay. It's just a joy to serve the Lord in any capacity, y'all. It's just a joy to serve the Lord. Today, if you would be so kind, turn your Bibles to the book of Daniel. In the Old Testament, the book of Daniel. You have pew Bibles there. You can take advantage of it. We use the King James Bible. And you can use those, bring your own. But we encourage you to use that paper Bible, especially here in the worship service, simply because one day your battery might run out when you got your little phone and it just won't work. But turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 4 is where we're going to be talking about. Chapter 4 is where we're going to be reading from today. We will kind of use as our key verse, because we're going to do the entire chapter. Our key verse will be verse 17, because this verse sums up pretty much what the whole passage is about. Book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 17, and it reads, this matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, emphasis on that they may know, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. That passage, in the course of this particular chapter, you will see the words repeated at least three times, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You see it in verse 17, verse 25, and verse 32, where it also says, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Historically, different people have different ways of bringing messages and bringing announcements to folks. In the history of the United States of America, we have a great history of a gentleman named Paul Revere. And Paul Revere, he had to get a message out to the people, and he used the methodology of, he said, I'm going to hold these lanterns, and it's one if by land and two if by sea. When our country received its freedom, they rang the Liberty Bell to let everybody know, hey, you know, it's something special. I live over close by the baseball stadium, and whenever there's a baseball game, I know because there's a plane flying around with an insurance company advertisement tag behind the plane. So that's how they let me know. Whenever I go to my computer, whenever I'm trying to really get to something quick, I keep seeing these stupid things pop up telling me, here, go this direction, go that direction, go this direction. Everybody's got a way of trying to get you to focus in on what they're doing and what they're trying to get across to you. But when I read this particular passage, it kind of jumps out at me because in this passage, you have, the Bible tells you that all scripture is given by inspiration as God breathed. But yet and still, and without contradiction, in this chapter, you see a letter written by a pagan king. It's his testimony. Daniel chapter 4 is a letter written by a pagan king, and it just sort of slips in to your scriptures. And King Nebuchadnezzar, he comes at you very subtly. He doesn't come at you with the one if by land and two if by sea. He doesn't come at you with the blimp and the planes and everything. When I read this, I said, how would Nebuchadnezzar, if he was reading this letter to us right now, how would he do it? First, I think he'd tell everybody, oh, don't call me Dr. Nebuchadnezzar. He'd just call me Uncle Neb. Want to get close to you. Want to talk to you real close. And then I would think that he would look at the congregation and he'd say, he's drawing everybody in. He said, may I have your attention, please? See, because he's got something important he wants to tell you. So he's telling you, you know, let those extraneous things get out of your mind. He said, may I have your attention, please? And he starts off so simply and so subtly. He says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people. Now, you got to understand, before he wrote this letter, he might have addressed himself as Nebuchadnezzar, the great grand potentate, Wizard of Oz. But now after he's had this little encounter with God, he just says, I'm Nebuchadnezzar, the king. For a title today, we're going to use, may I have your attention, please. Nebuchadnezzar had a very interesting life up until this point. And he's telling us here in verse 2, but I'll finish verse 1. He says, may I have Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. In the Oriental mindset, he would be saying shalom. Peace, well-being, not just your health, but your health, your wealth, everything about you, just shalom. Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to relax and give me your attention for just a few minutes. And I got to tell you what took place in my life. He said, I'm going to tell you about my testimony. In verse 2, he says, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. And then he says, How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. And Nebuchadnezzar is saying to us, he goes, I'm not guessing at these things. He said, I'm telling you, because of the things that I've seen and the things that I've been through, I'm telling you, he's great. See, we wake up, we are in our house, and we got a little money in our pocket, we got a little decent job, and hey, yeah, God is cool, but right now I got other things on my mind other than serving him. One of my dear friends, he put it this way. Now, he was saved. He was Christian. He said, you know, Will, I figured that maybe about the time I got to be about 50, 52, then maybe I'll start serving God. See, because I got things I want to do. But that's because he's just like so many of us, myself included. We didn't grasp what Nebuchadnezzar grasped before he wrote this letter, when he wrote this letter, when he said, how great, as in, is there any measure? Is there any measure as to how great and how wonderful and how mighty God is? He says, ponder that for a little bit. Don't just kind of gloss over that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, big deal. Whoa. And everything that there is, he created everything male. He created everything female. Everything that there is, that is a big deal. But we just gloss over that. We gloss over that to the point to where we entertain stupid stuff like evolution. Well, yeah, God's great, but surely all he could do is get it started. And then it kind of took off on its own. I say stupid stuff because the Bible says it's stupid stuff. The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. 6 literal days. How do you know that, Pastor? Because before God created anything, who determined what a day was? Who determined what a day was? Read the book. God said, I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. And he said, by the way, a day is the evening and the morning is a day. That's what he says. Well, Pastor, over in the book of Peter, he says, a day is like 1,000 years unto the Lord. That's the Lord, not you. Well, I'm going to work Tuesday. See you in 1,000 years, baby. No, it's a day. God says, too many Christians start reading the Bible and call him a liar from the very first paragraph. He says, trust me. If you believe, and those of us who are saved, if you believe that God can take your cold, dead, lifeless body from out of the grave and into glory, and you actually believe he can do that in a twinkling of an eye, but yet still you don't think he can do the heavens and the earth in 6 days, you're spiritually schizophrenic. Neb says, how great are his signs? How mighty are his wonders? Neb says, I'm going to tell you guys a couple things that I was privy to see that you didn't get to see. He said, we took these folks, these Jewish people, we took them captive. And when we took them captive, we ended up with this group of young men, one named Daniel, one named Shadrach, Meshach, and the other one's Abednego. And we took these three young men in, and they were pretty special young men. I've been watching them from the very beginning. I've been watching them. And he said, one day I had a dream. He said, one day I had a dream, and I dreamed I saw this giant statue, and it had a head of gold, and it was part gold and brass and silver and stone and iron. And he said this dream troubled him, shook him up. And he went through a series of things, and he ended up calling on Daniel, one of those Hebrew boys that he captured. And he called on Daniel, and Daniel told him at that point, Daniel said to the pagan king, he said, oh, king, I've seen the interpretation. God has given me the interpretation. That head of gold on that statue, that's you. Can you imagine? Hear this servant that you took captured. He says, king, this dream that none of your people anywhere could figure this out, but the God of heaven, the one true and living God, has revealed it to me that you are that head of gold, and you will rule and reign over the entire world. You'll be the greatest kingdom ever put on this earth. And after you, every succeeding kingdom will be smaller and with less power. That's what God said about Nebuchadnezzar. And when Daniel told him that, Nebuchadnezzar said, of a certain, your God is a God. Close, no cigar. And then Neb says, a little while later, these other three Hebrew boys, they wouldn't bow down to me when I told them to bow down to me, because you remember I'm that head of gold. And they didn't bow down to me. And so I purposed in my heart to force them to bow down to me. And I said, and if you won't, I'm going to set you on fire. I'm going to burn you up. And they said, we refuse to do that. So the Bible says that he threw all three of them into the furnace. And then when it was all said and done, one of my favorite verses of the Bible, Nebuchadnezzar looked in the furnace. Now, he was the king, and he wasn't no dummy, okay, y'all? He knew his ABCs. He knew how to count. And the Bible says that Neb looked inside the furnace. He said, now I know. I could have sworn we put three in there, and I see a fourth one, and he looks like the Son of God. Oh, my goodness. And they all came marching out without any smoke on them. And when Neb saw that, he went from saying, surely your God is a God, to now I've elevated him a little bit. He's the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's one of the top gods. He's not just a regular God. And you're talking to a pagan man who's got many, many gods. And he says, he is a God, now he's been promoted to one of the top gods. But he's still not convinced that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sort of like some of the folks I'm talking to today, some of the folks I speak to during the week. Well, God is good, you know, and what's if you want to believe that, well, what's right for you is right for you. What's right for me is right for me. See, they're not convinced. They're convinced he is a God. But they're not convinced that he is the most high God. See, now I know many of us don't believe that in spite of what we say, because I see how we live. I see how when we've heard sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon, we still say, I'm going to do it my way. And Neb says, please come here. Before you keep doing things your way, may I please have your attention? He says, because I learned the hard way. I learned the hard way that being in the presence of God and being close to God and still rejecting God is a dangerous thing. He said, I learned that the hard way. And he says, what does he say in verse 2? He said, I thought it might be good if I tell you too. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice of him to come down all through history to say to people he didn't even know, to people in Good Shepherd Baptist Church on November 10th, 2013, 1880 Mayfield Road, Grand Prairie, Texas. He says, may I have your attention? Let me tell you about this God's signs and wonders. May I have your attention, please? First, we're going to talk about reflections on life. Reflections on life. Verses 1 through 28. Reflections on life. Nebuchadnezzar says to us in verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. He said, I was minding my own business, and I saw a dream which made me afraid, And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. For those of us who think that rich people don't have any problems, he's an extremely wealthy man. He's the king of all the earth at this particular time. In fact, when you read even the secular historians, at this particular time in history, as English is throughout the world today as the language of commerce, you find people over in, Pakistan, India, Mexico, they speak English because it's the language of commerce. Guess what? The Babylonian tongue was the language of commerce at this time throughout the whole world. That's why when Nahum says, I'm writing this to the whole world, everybody could understand it. Everybody could read it and everybody could get it. That's such a secular history. And he says, I was sitting here minding my own business, prospering. He said, I was large and in charge. He said, I was living good. Don't you know that's so dangerous for us? About the only time many of us call on God, we don't call until we broke down. We wait until all hope is gone. Nahum says, I'm sitting here, I'm making big money. I'm not even, I take a word from my daddy. I'm not even studying God. God ain't even on the horizon. I'm just making my money, transpiring my business, running my country. He said, and then I had this dream. And this dream scared me. It scared me so bad that what I did was I called my magicians. I called my soothsayers. I called my sorcerers. I called them into my office. And I said, I made a decree. Somebody's got to tell me what's going on. Because this dream has terrified me. I can't sleep at night. I can't sleep at night. So it says that the sorcerers and the astrologers, fortune tellers, including a lot of your psychiatrists and psychologists, they're going to come in and give you man's wisdom. And I will tell anybody, psychiatry and psychology is okay and true only where it lines up with the scriptures. If you come to a point where there's a contradiction between what your shrink tells you and what God tells you, you better take what God tells you. That's what Uncle Nahum is saying. He goes, I thought it good that you, he said, because I had soothsayers too. He said, I had wise men, men who knew the worldly wise stuff. He said, I had them. But they couldn't answer my questions for me. They couldn't tell me about this dream. And then the Bible says that Daniel came in. Daniel was during all these first two incidents I told you about, where Daniel was the first one who gave him the explanation, the original dream of the head of gold. And Daniel was around when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar knew that Daniel was a godly man. And he knew that Daniel served and worshiped the Most High God. So the Bible says that Daniel came on in. He was the last one to come on in. Like I told you, give me some worldly wisdom. Don't you just love it when you have friends and they call you up, they need help. I got a 911. I need some help and I need it right now. Well, so-and-so said this to me and this happened in my life. And what do you think? Well, let's go to the Bible. No! I need some real help. Let's go see what God has to say. Man, will you tell me something that I can use? Will you keep it real? Oh, I love that one. Will you keep it real, man? Don't you know this is a different place? This ain't like this Bible stuff, man. Keep it real. Now, these are the same people that are counting on God to take their cold, dead, lifeless body to heaven, right? Telling me to keep it real. I just want y'all to know, I hear these things. I listen to this stuff, okay? Don't want to hear no Bible. Don't want to hear what Jesus got to say about loving one another. Don't want to hear what Jesus got to say about that anger issue that you've been dealing with for years and years and years, and you haven't figured it out yet with your worldly wisdom. But you still don't want to hear what Jesus got. Last person that they invite in is the man of God. And at least Nebuchadnezzar knew this much about Daniel. In verse 9, Nebuchadnezzar says, Daniel, he says, I know. Let's see what it says. He goes, O Belshazzar, that was his Babylonian name that they had given him. master of the magicians. He had been elevated to the chief of all of his wise men. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation there was. Now, this is key. When he says, Daniel, he goes, I know you don't get shook up about anything. Daniel, you've seen it all. Daniel, you saw that vision of that statue of gold. Daniel, you saw God bring those guys through the fiery furnace. Daniel, you don't get shook up over anything. So what I want you to do is I want you to tell me the interpretation of this dream. And Nebuchadnezzar goes on to describe the dream to Daniel. He says, Daniel, he said, there was this tree. He said, I saw this giant tree in my dreams. And the tree grew up to tremendous heights. And the leaves went everywhere. And under the leaves, there was birds. There was beasts. Everything was living off of the fruit of this tree. This tree was miraculous. This tree was marvelous. This tree was huge. He said, but then I saw an angel and a watcher come down. And they looked at the tree. The angel, the watcher, which is an angel, and the Holy One came down from heaven. And the Holy One cried and said, cut it down. Ooh. He said, cut down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beast get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's heart, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones. To the intent, our key verse, to the intent that the living, us, that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. He gave Daniel the whole brunt of the dream. When this scripture says in verse 17, says that God says, I want you to know, because many of us still think that we're the captain of our own ship. I want you to know your compass is broke. You're not the captain of your own ship. The Most High God rules in all the affairs of man, not some of the affairs. What about, does God pay attention to what bill I pay today and what bill I don't pay today? Yes, he does. Because he says all affairs of man. And then it says that he lifts up the basis. Now that shook me up. He said, I have taken the lowest of people. And when he says the basis of men, that's, you usually have two words in the Hebrew and in the Greek that mean male or female, or it would mean just specifically male or just specifically female. This one says male or female. He says, I take the lowest of people. And so anything they get, any glory, anything that they put out there, he goes, I lift them up. He goes, and by the way, I lift up who I want to lift up, and I take down who I want to take down. I know that messes with a lot of folks in here, because some of us thought that the rich folks were in charge. Some of us thought, no, it's not the rich people. It must be the poor people. They make a loud clamor. Maybe they're in charge. Or maybe it's the press. That's who controls the world. It's the press, yeah. It's the liberal media. That's who does it. Yeah. Y'all think that. No, I know who rules the world. It's the enemies of, it's the Taliban. Or maybe America. Maybe the president rules. No. No. To the intent that the living may know. These other things are important, but don't get shook up about who's running the show, because I want you to know that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. That's God's job. And that's why when we have a problem, we have a situation, we got a problem, we go to him. If there's something going on that you know is wrong and you know it's just not where it should be, you and I, we go to him because he is ultimately in charge. And that's why the Bible tells us without contradiction, prayer changes things. You got sickness in your household, you pray. You got need in your household of any kind, you pray. Because God said prayer changes things. Reflecting on his life, Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel the whole dream that he had. How they came down, they looked at the tree, they said the tree, we're going to cut the tree down, but we're going to leave the stump of the tree, and then we're going to scatter all the beasts and the animals and everything. And we get to verse 19, and it says, After Nebuchadnezzar ran down all these things for him, it said, then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonished for an hour. Whoa. Did I not tell you that Nebuchadnezzar said, Daniel, I know nothing shakes you up. Daniel, you've seen it all. Daniel, you know what's going on. You got the inside track with God. Nothing troubles you. And right here in verse 19, it says he was horrified. Daniel was horrified at the prospects that he saw that God had intended for Nebuchadnezzar. How would you feel? How would you feel if right now somebody said to you, if you don't believe on the name of Jesus Christ and believe that he came, he died, and he rose from the dead paying for your sins and mine, don't. He says, if you don't believe that, there is a real, literal hell waiting for you. If you believed it, you'd be horrified. If you believed it and you knew that you believed on Jesus already, but your little brother didn't, your big sister doesn't, you'd be horrified if you really believed it. Daniel knew that from this dream, and he knew from his experience interpreting the things of God, he knew this was going to happen just as sure as the sun was going to come up the next. He knew this was going to happen. I'm telling you, I'm imploring you, God is going to turn this world upside down. And he's given each and every one of us the free offer of his son, Jesus Christ. He said, I love you so much that I allowed my son to die for you. Will you take it? Will you take it? Because I don't want anybody to perish. He said, I made hell for Satan and his followers. I had no intention for any man to go there. Would you take the free offer? If you believe the scriptures, you would. Nebuchadnezzar looked at Daniel, and Daniel was shook up. Said he was shook up for about an hour. And then here's this great king. Now, don't forget this. He's talking to Daniel after the fact. This is his testimony. Here's this great king, and he's kind of consoling Daniel. He said, come on, Daniel. Come on, man. Come on. Just tell me. Give it to me straight. And so Daniel says, king, this interpretation should go to the people who hate you. I don't want to have to tell you this, but this should go to the people who hate you. And so then he says, go ahead and tell me. He says, king, the tree that you saw that grew so strong, that was so big, so wide, the leaves were everywhere. The leaves were fair. It was feeding all the creatures of the earth. He says, oh, king, O king, you have become strong. Nebuchadnezzar was ruling the whole world. He says, you've become strong, O king. And he says, in all these things that you saw, the tree was you. He goes, verse 23, he says, whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, cut down the tree, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. He's saying, O king, the watcher, the holy one, is saying, cut him down. Cut him down. And it's important that when he says you leave the stump there and you put a band of iron and brass around the stump, and most commentators, and I'm inclined to agree with them, most of them say, this is why leave the stump there? Because when he talks about, and you'll see in the scriptures, when God talks about what he does with Satan, he says, Satan, you shall be cut down. Not with a stump retaining. You shall be cut down and out. But he says, with this band of iron around there, most commentators believe that that's so that as the tree stump remained for this seven-year period, it wouldn't split and decay and fall all apart. So we don't know that to be exactly right, but I was just curious about why the band. But I do know Daniel says he left the stump because that pictures that God is going to return you to power. In verse 25, he told him, he says, I've got to make it so that until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and giveth it to whomsoever he will, I've got a lesson I got to teach you, Nebuchadnezzar. God said, I'm telling you, I want y'all to come and pay close attention to me because I've got something that you need to know about God. I need for you to know that God is sovereign. He answers to nobody. God says, I am sovereign, and is there anything too hard for God? And the answer is no. There's no situation that you and I could ever get into that God is not over that situation. He says, reflect on your life. Take inventory of your own personal life. That's what Neb was doing here. He's taking inventory of his own personal affairs. And with his own personal affairs, he was looking back on how many times God had shown him his glory. He has shown him his signs. He's shown him his wonders. And I'm saying to the congregation today, look back on your life. You don't even have to go back very far. What has God done in your life where he has moved in mighty ways that nobody thought you'd get out of that one, including you. And God moved. He moved in such a way that you couldn't attribute it to anybody else. That's what Neb said, look back. Because Neb said, I didn't understand any of these things. And now that I'm reflecting back on these things, I'm seeing where God has been moving in my life all along. He moved me into places that I didn't want to go. He moved me into places that I needed to go because he's God, because he's sovereign, and because he loves you. And most of the time, I won't say most of the time, many times we can't even see it. We just can't see it. He says, but if you read it in my word, if it says, for God so loved the world, that's you and me. He says, if he says it, believe it. Amen. Accept it. And then walk worthily of him. Daniel told him, he goes, O king, he said, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And I got to bring up a point here in verse 26. We're getting ready to go. In verse 26 and 27, Daniel gives a little bit of commentary here. Now, God has said the watcher came, and the Holy One came, and they said, this is what's going to happen. This tree is going to be cut down. The branches are going to be scattered. All the beasts that were under your care and all the people that you were caring for, all this is going to be scattered, and you are going to walk around like a wild animal, like a beast, for 7 years. You're going to be walking around eating grass like an oxen. I was thinking to myself, God, can't you make it sort of like a lion so I can have some dignity? Then people at least call me the king of beasts. Instead, you make me into something that people refer to as the dumbest creature out there. I know, because my grandpa used to tell me, you're dumb as an ox, boy. That's before I even knew what an ox was. God says, I'm going to make you like the ox of the land. You're going to walk around eating grass like a dumb ox. No dignity, no pride. God said, I'm going to take you down low. But then verses 26 and 27, Daniel says, hey, he says, king, whereas they are commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. He's giving him a little glimpse here. He goes, once you come to the understanding that that God rules, he goes, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it might be the lengthening of thy tranquility. Daniel said, this word is sure. He said, this word is sure. He said, but, maybe, O king, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, I want y'all to hear me. God has pronounced judgment. Some of y'all even know the judgment that's coming. Some of you know what God's getting ready to do and wreck your life. But look what Daniel said. And this is from a godly man. This is some godly wisdom. Daniel said, but maybe, just maybe, if you'll stop right now. Just maybe, children. If when mama tell you to do something, if you just stop right now being disobedient. Just maybe, God might give you a little bit more peace. Just maybe. Husbands, will you please start loving your wives? Will you stop abusing your wives mentally, physically, in every way? Because maybe, I don't know for certain, but just maybe if you stop, maybe God will hold his judgment off of you. Just maybe. That's what Daniel's saying to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, Neb, you're a ruthless man. You're the king. You do have the power of life and death. You're the king. But just maybe, if you just, when God says to do better, just maybe, and you put in the situation because you know I don't know, just maybe when he tells you to do better, you'll back off. Just maybe. If you turn away from your wickedness, maybe God will leave you alone. Maybe he won't bring that judgment upon you. But you know, there's folks who believe that, well, the Bible says that men are going to get worse and worse and worse. And the Bible says that. No contradiction here. But did not the watchers say to King Nebuchadnezzar, going to cut down the tree, going to scatter the beast, going to tear it all up? Did not Daniel say, but maybe if you'll act upon the things that you know to do right, maybe God will relent. Just maybe. Yes, this world is going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, but that under no circumstances changes my responsibility to teach and preach the word of God and to live a Christian life and to tell others about the Christian life. That in no way negates my responsibility. And it doesn't change God's promises. It's without contradiction, y'all. Daniel said, just maybe he'll change. Verses 28 through 33. We went from reflecting on life to resisting God's will. Resisting God's will? Yeah, resisting God's will. You heard the script. You know the scriptures say, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know that. The Bible says, quench not the Holy Spirit. All those things are from resisting God's will. We cannot stop God's will, but we can fight against God's will. That's clear from scriptures. Resisting God's will in your life, verses 28 through 33. We're going to talk about the perils and pitfalls of pride. See, because this is what this whole passage is about. Nebuchadnezzar tells you, pride. I got caught up in pride. Pride is any time that you put yourself on the throne over the things that God has said. Once you do that, You have lifted yourself up in pride. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verses 12 through 15. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. And I want you to take note in this passage how many times you see the word I. And then I want you to take note when you're holding a conversation with somebody and the bulk of your conversation is I. Me. I. You might want to change that. You might want to work on that. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? Remember, the watchers told Nebuchadnezzar they're going to cut down to the stump. They're going to leave a stump. But now here God is talking to Satan, Lucifer, and he said, you shall be cut down to the ground. That means with no hope of reprisal. Y'all shall be cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the earth, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. I. Nebuchadnezzar. Resisting God's will. God hates pride. That's all through the scriptures. God hates pride. Some of us are so much like Pharaoh. Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Love this passage. This is the height. This is the height of arrogancy. But then it's not too far from where a lot of us are right now, y'all. Brothers and sisters, I want you to come close. I want you to hear what God has got to say to you. Here in Exodus 4. Chapter 22 and 23, Moses and Aaron had come on to Pharaoh. And let's see. Oh, I got the wrong one. I'll tell it to you I'll just tell it to you. Where Moses and Pharaoh came, there it is. It's 1 and 2. Let me get this because I do want to read it to you. Exodus 1 and 2. See if I got it there. Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. Pardon me, because I did want to read this to you. Exodus 5, 1 and 2. And it says, and afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, this is the height, y'all. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord that I, King Pharaoh, should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Pharaoh says, I don't know him, and I don't pay attention to him, and I don't have any need for him. That's many people in the Christian church today. People who are professing. When somebody's not professing to be a Christian, I'm okay when they say they ain't got no need for God. It just bothers me when I'm talking to the saints of God and I'm telling you what thus saith the Lord. And you say, who is he? Who does he think he is to interfere with my life? Don't you know, Pastor, that's old stuff, Pastor. You got to learn how to move up into the 2000s, Pastor. Because we do things different nowadays. We call shacking loving. That ain't nothing new. That's old stuff, y'all. It's back in the Old Testament. We call rebellion against God being intellectual. That ain't nothing new. Satan said it. He said, I'll be just like God. When you hear these words, what is your response? I'm asking you, what is your response? You're saying, I don't know him, and I don't need to know him, and don't you be putting him in my business, preacher. Just give me something happy. I got news for you. If you'll receive this message, and if you'll come close And if you hear what I'm saying, God has promised to give you joy, joy, joy. Your happiness depends on what's going on right now. Joy is everlasting. Joy is on the inside out. Joy doesn't start with my wallet and work its way in. That's happiness. It depends on what's happening. God said, if you listen to me, if you'll obey me, if you'll follow me, if you'll stop resisting my will, if you, when you know better, this is what it comes down to. Because everybody is at different levels spiritually. Everybody knows different things about the Bible. All of us are different. But he says, if you know better, whatever that better is, if you know better, do better, and I'll bless you. If you know better, do better, and I'll bless you. I have that on the authority of God. But Pharaoh said, I ain't listening to him. And unfortunately, way too many folks in the church say, I'm not listening to him. I'm going to resist his will. And then you have in verse 29, you have this I call it a pregnant pause. You have this weighty pause. Because Nebuchadnezzar told Daniel the dream, gave him all the circumstances of the dream, said, Daniel, what's the interpretation? Daniel said, I hate to tell you this, king, but it's looking bad and it's going to get worse. He's saying, king, God is going to chop you off at the stump. He's going to cut you off at the ankles. And he said, and then Daniel gave him the advice. Daniel said, but if you turn from your wicked ways, maybe God will hold off. And then you get this weighty, pregnant, I interpret this pause, this 12-month period where there's nothing said for this 12 months. I interpret this is 12 months that Nebuchadnezzar is trying to fix things under his own strength. Just like us. Just like us. Daniel said, turn to the Lord. And he said, turn to the Lord now. And we say, when I get around to it. When I get around to it, I'll turn. Right now, my life is going okay. I mean, he was flourishing, y'all. Just had one bad dream, but he was flourishing. He goes, when I get around to it, I'll change. So you got this 12-month period where there's nothing said. And then it says, at the end of the 12 months, King Nebuchadnezzar walked into this kingdom of Babylon, into the palace, and he sounded just like Satan. The king spake and said, I'm in verse 30, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And the Bible says, while the words were still in his mouth, a voice came down from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. That's so sad. That's so sad. It's so sad when somebody can stand and warn you. Somebody who you know is telling you the truth. Because if you're saved, if you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, you got the Spirit of God inside of you. So you know when I'm giving you the Word of God to the Spirit of God is saying amen to everything I say. Who's saying no? You. Not the Spirit of God in you. It's so sad that Daniel spoke these words to King Nebuchadnezzar. He said, this is something I want for your enemies. I don't want this for you. Isn't that what God said about hell? Isn't that what God said about hell for us? He said, I don't want this for you. But we walk into it face first. King Nebuchadnezzar, he took a year. And then he said, I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm going to do it anyhow. I'm not going to change my ways for anybody. And can't nobody make me change my ways. Well, God's got ways of making us talk. And I just want you to know from personal testimony, been there, done that. God can make you talk. The Bible says that everything just broke down on Nebuchadnezzar. They drove him out into the field. In that same hour, everything that Daniel told him was going to come to pass, Nebuchadnezzar was driven out from men. He began to eat grass like an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs, the hair on his head, had grown like eagle's feathers. Y'all, and his nails like bird's claws. Sometimes I see some people who are just, that many of them are mentally ill. And it breaks my heart because you look at them and they're really not much more than animals in their mind. And God says, you know what is a sign of your faith and my faith? He said, we look after the infirmed. There are some sick people out here, y'all. And God says, I judge you by how you treat them. When they are mentally infirmed, unfortunately, some of them got their self-inflicted. How many of y'all got family members with drug-fried brains? I got them. I got family members who don't know what day it is. They don't half know if it's day or night. And there was nothing wrong with them when we were born. It's just through a series of I'm going to do what I want to do the way I want to do. And now, they're in bad shape. You pray for them, and you do what you can for them. But the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar was out for 7 years. And lest anybody forget, this is a judgment straight from that God who is love. Without contradiction, this is from the same God that people tell me, oh, he'd never do that. God put him out there. God sentenced him to 7 years of walking around grazing in the grass. And if God did it for Nebuchadnezzar, reflect back on your own life now. Start to thinking, where you at? Where you at in your life right now? How are things going? How's that doing my own thing working out for you? Maybe, just maybe, if you'll stop right now. You know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing. Ain't none of my business. But you know what you're doing. Maybe if you'd stop right now, God would relent and give you some more time. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar walked around for 7 years. 7 years, like a wild animal. But here's where God doesn't leave you just hanging, y'all. And I'm not going to leave you just hanging. I got to tell you the good news. I got to let you know what's going on. Verses 34 to 37. Neb goes from reflecting on his life to willfully resisting God's will. And now verses 34 through 37. This is what God's got waiting for everybody who will call upon his name. I want y'all to know, on the authority of Scripture, anybody in here, no matter how scarlet your sins are, no matter how secret and deep and dark your sins are, he said, though they be scarlet, I'll wash them white as snow. What do I got to do, Pastor? What I got? Believe him. Stop calling him a liar. Believe that he's done what he's done and he'll do what he do. Look what happens here with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel told him it's going to be seven years. Verse 34, he says, at the end of the days, at the end of that seven-year period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Oh, my goodness. And mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And Nebuchadnezzar says, I lifted up my eyes. Church, I want you to start looking up to Jesus. He says, lift up your eyes. He said, the moment, the instant that I lifted up my eyes to the Lord, my understanding I got my mind back. I could think again. I could think clearly, because the Bible tells us when we're caught up in sin, we're making decisions that are bad decisions because you can't think straight when you're caught up in sin. You can't. Sin puts a big old blurry window in front of you. And you're thinking that what you're doing is right, but you can't see straight. No different than Nebuchadnezzar when he's wandering around there grazing in the grass. He couldn't see straight because he wasn't obeying God. But the moment you make up your mind to follow the Lord, he says, oh, glory. He says, not only did I bless him, but I honored him. Let me tell you what the difference is between blessing him and honoring. Blessing God is saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. That blesses God. Honoring God is when you do follow him. Amen. Amen. We love to say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I will follow if you will lead. No, we love to say that. But will you follow him? Will you obey him? Will you stop? Will you not have that pregnant pause in your life where you're sitting here, you're waffling between, do I obey him or do I not obey him? Do I do what he tells me to do? Do I live the life he tells me to live? Do I sing in the choir? Do I usher on the board? Do I join the church? What do I do? When you know better, you do better. Nebuchadnezzar went from resisting God, disregarding God, to praising God and honoring God. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth were reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar is getting a great understanding of who God is. This man, he's giving you his testimony. That's the coming. He says, I want y'all, may I have your attention, please? He says, because I've been there, I've done that. And the old saying is this. A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. The Bible says, with that knowledge that you're getting in school, with you kids, with all that stuff you're learning in elementary school, kindergarten, college, with all that information that you're getting, get some wisdom with it, please. Get some wisdom, because all it is just a bunch of facts and figures and numbers, and it has no wisdom to go along with it. You got to come to this book. You got to come to God's word to get the wisdom that he has for you. And I leave you with this. A couple things. It's so sad that God had to trash Nebuchadnezzar's life to save his soul. My heart's desire in prayer to God, whoever you are, wherever you are at in your Christian walk, make a decision to follow Christ today. Don't let God have to trash your life that he might save your soul. Don't let that be said of you. Don't let that be the case in your life. Because he says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord. How hard is that, y'all? Except for that pride. He says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Matthew chapter 21, verses 44. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. Matthew chapter 21, verse 44. Jesus said, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. I need your attention, church. God's for real. God is serious. God is so serious that he let his only begotten Son be crucified, hang, bled, and died so that you and I could have life, and not only have life more abundantly. And I'm not even talking about money and cars. I'm talking about peace that surpasses understanding. A lot of y'all, Neb had money. Neb had land. He had power. He had influence. But he didn't have no peace. He said that dream troubled him. Y'all, if you don't have any peace, turn. Turn. Nebuchadnezzar ended up his scripture, his portion of the book of Daniel. Verse 37, he says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar," he said, "I praise, I extol, I honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase." Good news is, y'all, one day, because of this testimony, one day, those of us who believe on the name of Jesus, you'll be able to ask Nebuchadnezzar himself about his one page out of his diary. God bless you.